Hello.
Hello. Hey, look at that. That's what? Exciting. Yeah. And well, now that I've got this on, everybody's going to hear the interesting. Yeah. When we're working on MySQL packages inside of MySQL, there was the conversation / argument about whether packages distributed by MySQL should behave the same everywhere, or they should behave as people for that target thing would expect them to, with the big distinction there being that Red Hat RPMs typically do not start their services by default when they're installed, but devs do. And so what the default behavior should be on installation, how do you make everyone happy in that case? I don't know. I don't think you can either.
Okay. For our second last talk today, we have Monty Taylor giving us a talk about Drizzle and how Drizzle have used Launchpad. I've trusted him completely on what his content is. I have no idea what he's going to say. Hopefully it's good.
I don't either, really. Oh, wait, no. That's not the right thing to say.
No, that's not right. So, let's welcome Monty Taylor.
Hey, everybody. So my name is Monty. I work on the Drizzle project. I used to work on the Drizzle project for Sun Microsystems. As of last week, I do not work on the Drizzle project for Sun Microsystems. I just work on the Drizzle project, which means that, amongst other things, I'm now free to speak in public about various matters, which last week I was not free to speak in public about, which is exciting. But I won't do that in this talk, because that's not what it's about. And before we go too much further, just in case there's anybody who doesn't know what that is, Drizzle's a fork of MySQL that we started about a year and a half ago, with the aim of making it fantastic. So that's what Drizzle is. But anyway, we use Launchpad pretty extensively. When I first started working on this talk, the very first version of bullet points that I wrote out wound up sounding a little bit like a laundry list of what are the features of Launchpad. Like yes, Launchpad has this feature. We use it. Launchpad has this feature. We use it. Everything is great. We like people. And it's still somewhat of that because I can't avoid the fact that we use virtually every feature of Launchpad. But I'm going to try at least to not just have it be a, hey, look at this feature that Launchpad has, and try and talk more about that. So keep me honest on that. If it sounds like I'm just sounding like a marketing shill, somebody call me on it, please, because that's not the intent. So to start off with a simple question, why did we go with Launchpad? Because there's many options for your flying needs these days, that's oftentimes one of the first decisions that you make when starting a new project, oddly enough. I think we decided this one before we decided whether we were going to standardize on C or C++. One of the first things we got to was that there was a solid infrastructure and that it was there. All of the pieces that we needed were available, so we didn't have to worry about setting up bug tracking or setting up code hosting or setting up any of these other things. We could worry about code and not the other stuff, which was nice. Also, one of the things that I've been a real big fan of is the tool integration. We're already using Bazaar at this point. We used Bazaar from moment one. So all of the tools on Launchpad, funnily enough, seem to understand branches that are pushed to Launchpad in Bazaar. Really don't know how they managed to do that, but it seems to be a funny side benefit of most of the tools on there. So we didn't have to do a whole bunch of write funny hook scripts in home directory to do crazy things, because that's also not honestly very interesting work to be doing when you're trying to work on a database server. And thirdly, I'd just gotten MySQL uploaded to Launchpad. I've personally been using Launchpad as the location of my, all of my personal development work for probably 3 years now, I guess. Maybe even longer, maybe four, I don't know, a long time. Actually, has Launchpad even been around for 4 years? All right, then, yeah. But it's been a while since I've had my stuff on there. And me and one other guy inside of MySQL had pretty much been spearheading the move MySQL off of BitKeeper onto Bazaar, and as a result, then we can start doing funny things like publishing code branches for the world to see that they can use, as opposed to the BitKeeper nonsense. So having just gotten MySQL branches on Launchpad, I have to admit that I went a little bit maybe overboard on saying that, yes, in fact, Drizzle should also use Launchpad, and that we weren't going to talk about it anymore. And GitHub didn't exist. And at that point, I'm not going to get into a bizarre Git conversation. GitHub did not exist. Honestly, the MySQL source is already in bizarre, so the ecosystem there had taken a step. So rethinking everything from scratch is not necessarily always the best idea. It doesn't really get you many places other than talking about infrastructure and ecosystem all day long, which would be great if that's what we did, but it's not what we're doing. One of the other things that's really nice for us, that has been nice for us in using Launchpad, is the sort of user and group system that's baked into it pretty nicely. I'm personally assuming that this has something to do with its Zope 3 lineage, being a former Zope developer myself and knowing that you really can't have objects in Zope without something being there to own them. I don't actually hack on the code, so I could be wrong about that. There's a user and group model, and the thing that I think is interesting and important about that is that we are a group of people, and we need to be able to say, hey, this grouping of people can do these tasks, and these other people we don't know about cannot do those same tasks. And I also don't want a secretary to be spending all day long, doing management tasks for me. That's something that we should be able to collectively do. So we've got a team on Launchpad, Drizzle Developers, which owns the Drizzle project. It actually owns several other projects. Actually, I guess it doesn't own the project, actually. And then Brian owns Drizzle Developers. One of the things that's fun about that is that I can push branches to Launchpad as Mordred. So I can push them to LP, Drizzle, Mordred, Drizzle, Foo, and it puts it in its my branch. If I push it to LP, --, Drizzle Developers, whatever, then anybody in the Drizzle Developers team can push revisions to that branch. So it becomes like a shared branch. So it's just like in the good old days of Subversion, where I had my own server, and I'd bothered to set up Apache and mod dav svn and all of that, and everybody had SSH accounts, and we could all push to the same branch. That was really fantastic. But also, it's not required that we have that. We don't all have to be sharing all of our branches. Most of our branches are actually individually owned. And there's just sort of a couple where it's important for the group to be able to do things to them. Well, I might add that our trunk is owned by the group, but only one person ever pushes to it. But that's a policy thing and isn't really controlled by Launchpad. That's us. So we can federate task management. This is the screen that shows the Drizzle developers team. I've scrolled up, so there's normally some header stuff at the top of the page, but it's the same for all Launchpad pages. I wanted to fit more things on the screen. But this is us. Brian, who started the project, owns the team. We have 73 members, so there's ostensibly 73 people who care enough about Drizzle to want to be part of the development team, which is neat to see. These are the last five guys. I hope that they're fine with me showing their names here in this talk. I don't know why they'd have a problem with that. What are the other interesting things that were on here? And you can see over here we've got this related project, which I'll talk about in a second. But it's not just, as with any ecosystem, Drizzle isn't just Drizzle. Drizzle is Drizzle and a whole bunch of other things. And all of these are sort of interrelated in some interesting ways that we can describe in this manner. So, we've got the umbrella project we'll talk about in a second. We've got Drizzle itself, code, some PHP extension. There's a whole bunch of different projects that make up the thing that we as a collective group of people are working on all of them. But we don't have to shoehorn them into one code repository with different subdirectories or something awful like that, which would make angels cry and kill bunnies. We've got personal package archives, and all of these are sort of group-owned things, although I am literally the only person who's ever uploaded anything to the personal package archives. But that's okay, Stuart could if you wanted to. Why don't you start doing that, Stuart? Okay, fair enough. What's that? Okay, fine. Yeah. We've got, and then in good, generic fashion, teams can be members of teams, because teams are really just people. You've essentially got people and projects, and everything is either a people or a project, it seems. But so a team is a people, and since teams can have members, teams members can be teams, which can have members which are teams, which is nice. But it, you know, it means I forget why we have Drizzle Discuss as Drizzle Developers is a member of Drizzle Discuss. Is it well, that's where we have the mailing list. But why would Drizzle Developer be then? Is it? Yeah, I just know why. I mean, I know we have two separate things. I just don't know the. Anyway, doesn't really matter. So there's other teams. There's sort of intra-team membership, and that works out pretty nicely. The one, and I'm going to try my best to give at least one bit that I've at least heard pushback from, and the needing a Launchpad account to join a mailing list is people have complained. I personally don't care. I have a Launchpad account. Doesn't bother me at all. But I have heard complaints about that, for what it's worth. Yeah. So, like I was saying earlier, we've got as a team, as a person, it can own things, and one of those is it owns code. So the second one down there, lp:drizzle, is the main Drizzle development branch. You'll see that we make extensive use of the status column. Yeah, okay, so we don't ever do anything with that. We probably should in some cases. But in several of these, so lp:libdrizzle, the third one down, is that's our protocol library. Completely different project on Launchpad. If you go to launchpad.net/libdrizzle, that'll be the project for that library. But it's also owned by the main Drizzle developers team. We've got several things in here. The package drizzle, these three down here, package drizzle, Hardy, Jaunty, Karmic, that's my packaging stuff for backporting. Those things, we've got a branch of Sysbench that we own, various things across various different projects that are owned specifically by the team, and that may or may not be related to Drizzle. We've also got some branches here related to fake release series, for those of you that know how to read Launchpad bizarre branch naming. You can see that pretty obviously. We'll talk about that in a minute too. But out of the vast majority, we've got we've got a whole bunch of projects that are related either directly to the team or through the umbrella project, and many Drizzle branches. I think I have 120 Drizzle branches up on the site. We have a grand total of 18 that are team owned because there's not really much need for any of the rest of them to be because we can interact with them directly. So that's pretty cool. Man, that Drizzle Developers Historical that's a really useful branch down there. Yeah, we didn't do that. Yeah. So project. I've said the word project several times. Of course, everything is about software projects, not software products. Those are something else. It's, as I've alluded to, it's not only can you have multiple projects on Launchpad, but Launchpad seems to understand that they may be related in some way, which is really particularly nice. I, back in the day, used SourceForge, and I had several projects on there. If they had any relationship to each other, SourceForge was certainly unaware of it. You know, it's not really part of its goal, I guess. But this makes this being my main development workflow tool during the day pretty nice, because I don't have to reinvent the wheel 17 times a day. So there's a we have a thing called an umbrella project that we've got a whole bunch of projects listed in, which is this right here. So the Drizzle umbrella project shows you it's sort of like an Uber project or a super project or something like that, and all of these various things are essentially part of this. So it's sort of a one-stop shop for stuff people are doing that's sort of a part of our generalized community of people working on stuff, which is really particularly nice. Some of these things, I got to tell you, I looked at this page today. I have no idea what Drizzle Cloud Data Fabric is. Didn't know that existed. Somebody down here, Drizzle DC, I'm guessing is working on a Zope database adapter for Drizzle, because that's DA typically. Drizzle DC, I really don't know what it is then. What's that? Is it? Fascinating. Ooh, yeah, this is This is the drizzle rewrite of the U.S. government. All of a sudden my passport just got revoked and I'm not going to be able to go home. If anybody's got a bed I can crash in, that'd be great. Because I'm sure they're listening to me. So this is particularly nice because it allows a really sort of loose confederation of stuff that's still related, right? So I'm not owning many of these projects. Marcus Eriksson in Sweden does the Drizzle JDBC project, but it's certainly part of the extended family, right? And you can tell that from this. You can go, I don't think I grabbed any screenshots of it, and no, I didn't. You can go for most of these branches, bugs, blueprints, these top titles up there, and you can see overview of like all of the blueprints for all of the projects that are owned by this or that are associated with this umbrella project. So if you sort of want to see the state of everything, and actually we haven't been using this particularly well, I think, can we have milestones that exist across projects in an umbrella? Kinda. Because I just realized today that might be sort of nice, because we're having an issue right now with libdrizzle and drizzle needing to sort of be targeting similar end goals. And so we're like going down blueprints of things that we're working on for drizzle, and then something's like, oh, no, that's a libdrizzle task. And it's not really in that, but it really should be. So anyway, but you can look at sort of the world of how these things are working across the whole thing, although as you can tell from that brief conversation, I don't do that very often, in all honesty, because most of the time I know the things that are happening that I'm working on, like the fact that I need to finish Drizzle Interfaces project. So that's all like sort of meta information and like us managing like global stuff, which isn't how like the typical person comes in and interacts with us. Which I would say that the main thing that, you know, our first line of interaction with a lot of people is the bug system. People will come in, they've been trying something out, they'll file a bug. And that's fantastic, because getting bugs means that we can fix things and then things get better. It also means that we can find more interesting ways of swearing at the code that we're looking at, because they typically cause us to see disgusting things like casting -1 to bool. Which we really should file a bug about, by the way. So the main things here, obviously, people can report bugs. This is a feature. It's a thing that's nice. They can also, and I should have gotten a screenshot of this, but we just had a talk on it, so I think it's okay. They can reference upstream bugs where appropriate. So you can file a bug, and you can be like, hey, here, you've got a bug in your thing, but you know what? It's actually a bug in libcurl, which you're using, which I'm going to reference here, that you're going to need to deal with in some way. And so then you can track that, and somebody fixes libcurl finally. That's going to happen. But you know, when they finally do, you know, then it's okay, and you know, whatever. So that's a particularly nice thing, even though we're not in the business of packaging upstream things, which is sort of what the original, I think, some of the original impetus was that, is to be existing as part of a greater ecosystem. Really nice for us, just because we can tag sources, because we use a lot of libraries from people, and so that strong interaction and coupling with non-launchpad bug systems has at least on a couple of times allowed us to track upstream bad behavior before. It's also integrated with Bazaar, which is particularly nice. So you can do BZR commit fixes blah, in this case LP:470156, which we'll see in just a second. Which was a particularly disgusting bug. I'll point that out too. That's a nice thing I like. So that's when you do that, it associates the branch that you just did with the bug on Launchpad automatically without you having to do anything. And I was going to show a great example of auto-closing bugs and stuff, but the last thing I did that on, I forgot and made another branch where I pulled the patches out and I didn't commit with fixes and fail. But operator error, really, is where that was. This is our general bug page for Drizzle. We only have these are the only bugs that are in Drizzle at all, these 10. There are no other bugs other than this. It's other than that bug free. I'm lying. damn it. Yeah, they're all lies. So as you can see, there's, you know, this is a not really the earth-shattering thing, but we've got bugs with statuses and importances and things of that nature. That's right, it didn't get the branch attached to it because it had never pushed. Anyway, general overview-y type of stuff, and you can search for them and things of that nature. The milestone, we'll talk about milestones in just a second, but the milestone-targeted bugs is a decent way for us to go in. Like, Bell is the milestone we're working on right now. We can get together and be like, hey, everybody, we need to actually fix those bugs that we've said that we're going to fix by this release milestone. And we can look at them and stuff. But in general, it's just, bug system. So that second bug down there, pthed adder stack sizing, correctly not found in 2.9.10, which was reported, actually, I believe, by Stuart Smith. Apparently, I broke something on his machine. Just Stuart's. Honestly, just Stuart's. It actually, for those interested, came from the fact that Stuart uses Ccache in front of GCC, which was doing weird things with that. So that's actually what was the cause of that. There was another bug in there too, but that was the thing that was causing it to emerge. But thanks for that. So amongst the various things that I find interesting here, and I'm gonna use this opportunity to pick on the purple. This bug affects one person. Does this bug affect you? And you can click it and be like, yes, gosh darn it, this bug affects me. And then you don't have to have 200 comments in the comment section of the bug saying, yes, in fact, I agree. It also sucks that libpurple does not have OTR support. Which, if you look at the bug on libpurple, you'll see comment, 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 comment. Okay, guys, we get it. You all have this problem. Please stop adding me to comments. Because that's a particular type of information you can get. This has become all Ajax-y recently, and you click on these little things and just change the one little thing, which confused me earlier because I wasn't. I run the pre-release version of Launchpad myself, so this may not exactly look like the thing. But so you'll see, you have bug notifications. People can subscribe to particular bugs. So if you report a bug like Stuart did, he's gonna get things. But also, we're sending out things through the Drizzle developers, and I don't even know why some of these other people are individually listed, but various people are going to get email notifications on status, and that lets you sort of know who that is. There's attachments, there's all of that good stuff. There's other things in here that we haven't yet really done anything with, like CVEs for security violations. Since nobody's running us in production yet, not really a big issue for us. There's nobody running us in production, dear God. please, if you are, stop. It's not quite there yet. But you'll see here, I did attach a related branch to this bug, because I did fix it. And then I copied the diff out of that branch and put it in a different branch. But that's a whole other conversation. Bug reports. We use those a lot. We don't use them as much as we should, because a lot of times we'll file the bug and then we'll go do something else. Because we don't actually have users yet. So they don't complain about their bugs not getting fixed. It's sort of nice until it's going to stop. But so that's bugs, that's things that broke that you were expecting to not break. Blueprints is sort of us being more proactive. It's the feature that sort of defines what we're working on currently and what our intentions are for sort of shaping the thing in the future. Specifications, whatever. These are feature development things. You can own these. A lot of times we do, honestly, a really bad job of status changes on these as we're working on them. This winds up being the to-do list for us, and then once a month we'll go in and, oh, shit, did that one, 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 which honestly is a workflow problem for us, I think, rather than Launchpad. But this isn't, you know, sometimes we share our dirty laundry. Actually, we share all of our dirty laundry all the time. What am I talking about? The thing, and this is my ongoing feature request, is it requires a, if you're going to have an actual specification of the feature, it's expecting that specification is going to live somewhere else. It's not expecting it to be actually a part of this. The blueprint is actually a pointer to the thing, because the Ubuntu process is that you write it up in the wiki, and then you make a blueprint, and you point to the write-up of the feature thing, and then that works. So what happens a lot of times is the entirety of the blueprint is the title of the blueprint, and that describes everything there is to know about that feature for us, which still works, because at the moment we burn through blueprints really quickly. You can tie bizarre branches to the blueprint as well as to a bug. I have some branches that are tied to both blueprints and bugs. I have some branches that are tied to many, many blueprints and many, many bugs because I'm bad at organization. But really, the way we find this really nice is when you've got a sort of one branch per that's supposed to be per thought, not per through. If anybody knows what one branch per through is, you win a cookie. I don't know where I'm going to get the cookie, but nobody knows what that is because it doesn't mean anything. So these are this sort of an example of our some of our blueprints. This list goes way, way down and keeps going. But this is just sort of a chunk of them. You'll see that most of them belong to Stuart. We've got sort of like a little RSS-y feed type looking thing over here of the latest blueprints. Somebody's trying to sort of keep up with what we're thinking. Let's see, rename. Hey, look at that. That one at the bottom there was me. I added that. So these are general. We've a couple of things that we've been doing, and this is just for our sanity, and I don't know whether this is an actual feature request or not, but you'll notice that we've sort of got some naming convention things going on here as ways to group them logically in our brains. So, you know, replication, blah, 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 or I've got a couple code cleanup. There's like 12 of them that start with code cleanup dash, because there isn't really a hierarchical namespacing for these things that would allow us to do that. But that's okay. I'm okay with that thing. You can be assignee. You'll see that we really use this last column, series, extensively. We've really handled that particular feature and do a good job at dealing with serieses. Totally. But assigning them to people is we use this pretty extensively in terms of describing every bit of work that we're going to do, and it's actually been nice. And honestly, so this is one. So for some of these, alter table generate proto data. That may be all that Stuart needs to know what task, and that's all I need to know. If Stuart's working on alter table generate proto data, I know what he's talking about. I know what that is, and so the fact that we don't have a longer description of that, that's okay. This is actually a specific blueprint that does have more data listed in it. This chunk of text right here, I'm abusing the whiteboard, which is supposed to be for current status of the blueprint, which I believe we never use in that way. But quick, what's that? Another feature request. This goes along with the wiki thing, I think, maybe. I don't know. On the other hand, slab of text and the whiteboard would probably be potentially nice. We have a rat's nest of headers, but you'll see we've got a lot of nice metadata about this down here. Who wrote it, you know, who approved it, who's working on it, status of the implementation, things like that. If there were related bugs, so you can associate branches to blueprints, you can associate branches to bugs, you can also associate bugs and blueprints, because a bug may point out to you that there is an architectural thing that you need to rework in your system before the bug can even conceivably get fixed, and then you may want to make a blueprint to sketch out that work for things, and then you'll do that. So that's been good. This has a branch associated with it. So this is the rest of the page. One of the things that I think is neat is the dependency tree and little graphs. So this one is actually dependent on replace macro functions. Yep. Is that a description? Oh, hey, look at that. I'm not abusing the whiteboard. See, I don't know what I'm talking about. I feel like I was abusing the whiteboard. Is that new? All right. Then forget everything I said. I obviously don't know what I'm doing. Yeah. It actually, I do know that it has changed at least once since we started using it in May of 2008. Once, maybe, but, you know. Yeah. I believe it had something to do with the way that the graphs generated themselves. Yeah. 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 Oh. Yeah. I suppose I really shouldn't go into the time that I did spend pulling the code and trying to get it up in a VM, should I? All right. I'm actually going to just ask this live here. The proposed for Sprint thing, I know used to be completely useless to anybody that wasn't Ubuntu. I think I saw something the other day where I could add my own Sprint or meeting or something like that. Is that correct? I think I found it the other day. Okay. Because this seems to be a global set of sprints for all projects or something. And so that makes that particular thing existing in my context not very useful. Because I'm probably not going to work on this at the Ubuntu DevConf in Barcelona or whatever. I might, but it's probably not where I'm going to sprint this. But in theory, you could do that. But we don't do that. You can also target this to milestone. This one is not targeted to milestone, and I'll mention why. In a minute. Oh, wait. Oh, crap. I didn't put that slide in. Shit. All right. So I put one in about abusing serieses, but not about abusing milestones, I think. But no, I do have the milestone one. Sorry. Brain. Milestones. I don't have a slide. I don't have a slide. Oh, look. There it is. Milestones, for anybody that uses Ubuntu, you may notice that they have nice names for things, like, you know, Karmic or Jaunty or Intrepid or Lucid is the next one coming out. So similar to that, we've currently got Aloha and Bell and Cherry, and basically these are targets for development. The intent being we're going to release this. It's that sort of time cycle based thing. We're going to release something in January. We'd like to target these tasks at that, but you know, really whichever ones stick by that point, by the time that we freeze, is going to be what's going to be in that. And then that release milestone is a milestone. So we target the bugs and the blueprints we're working on at a milestone, and then we release them and we upload tarballs, which is there's a really flexible system behind that, which means that sometimes we have to remember exactly how to add releases and add tarballs. But it works out pretty well. And we actually, I don't know if we're abusing that or not, but we upload a new tarball because we upload weekly tarballs. We release it to the current milestone that we're working on once every other week. I don't know if that's right or not, but that's how we're doing that. We have a couple of fake milestones, sort of like we have fake release series. We also have some fake milestones. One of them we have titled low-hanging fruit, which is easy tasks that aren't important. Really? My God. The easy tasks that, like, anybody who wants to start contributing that wants a task, right? They're like, ooh, I'd like to help. Where can I go? And they can go to the low-hanging fruit list, and they can grab one of those blueprints and start working on it. And most of those are things that just about anybody could probably come in and start hacking on. A modification to how we're dealing with this recently that we made is that if you work on a low-hanging fruit milestone and you finish the milestone, then you go and you retarget it to the milestone that we're, like, they're actually, so if you finish it, stick it on Bell so that we know that that is a feature that landed in Bell. But in general, these aren't, we're not targeting these towards Bell. We don't care when they come in. They're just, it's a place. Yes. They're not bugs? Yeah, we're doing them as blueprints. Yeah. So can we tag blueprints? Yeah. That would. So we're using this as a poor man's tag. So you'll see right here. This is a view of our release series, which also relate to milestones. But you'll see that we've got an ongoing series, a low hanging fruit series or milestone. The series milestone interaction is I have trouble explaining to people at times, which is why I'm not going to explain it right here. But we have series, and then milestones are targeted at series. I don't know. You can sort of see that from the thing. We have those, this gives the overhead. These series we have down here are also fake series. They're not really, we're using them for shortcuts. So like I made a Mordred series so that I could just check out my active development branch as LP drizzle Mordred. Yes, I didn't want to type LP colon tilde Mordred slash drizzle slash development. So yeah, cheating. So URL shortcuts of arbitrary manner would be sort of cool and not do that, but you know, I'll live. This is actually working. Like it's not really a big issue. We use the build as our build slaves, check out whatever's in build and build it. Which is cool. You'll see the timeline up here. You can hang these things off in various different ways, which we're not really doing. Partially also because we're not really maintaining any of these things after they release, because none of you are using this in production. So we're sort of cheating on that as well. So we got all sorts of blueprints that need code review and stuff like that. So I'm going to speed up a little bit because I've apparently been rambling because I only have like 10 minutes left at this point, probably 5. So this is an overview of our Bell milestone, which is the one that we're currently working on. Apparently, in this milestone, I have 9 blueprints and 24 bugs assigned to me, since I'm logged in as me for this. You'll see all the various different people, just to ring our typical drizzle bell. I would say less than half of those people work full-time on the ones who have double-digit numbers are most likely those of us who, up until most recently, worked for Sun. And then there's Padvik, who has a lot. But anyway, so we can sort of get an overview of sort of what's going on there. I did not put a screenshot of this, but right below where it says download files for this release, there's a list of tarballs, which are the download files for this release. And this is sort of where you stick tarballs and stuff like that, where we upload those to. Whole bunch of blueprints. So you see here's a chunk of things. These are all sortable. So we can come in. These are the Bell blueprints. So we'll come in as a team and start walking through, you know, all of Stuart's outstanding tasks, and then rib him about the fact that he's the only person on this page who has unimplemented things. Well, I guess Brian too, but that's really just how it's sorted. All of mine are below the cut. makes me look better. As a quick ribbing on that. So if I come down to the next thing where you see all of mine that I'm still working on, these are bugs. I've got 7, 6 there that are confirmed and that aren't fixed released. I would love a bulk interface to close those because if I click on that and go and confirm it and then hit back, I've got to resort this page and rescroll down and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I'll live. So these are all of our bugs. Don't anybody look. Most of them are fixed, though. Look at all the fixed. Translations. The Launchpad pulls all of our message. We're normal get text. We're get textized, so all of our translations are done by a get text. Launchpad pulls all those right out of our tree from Bazaar, hooks them up, merges them with the online translations that are done, and pushes them back into a tree that we can merge from, which is fantastic, until I broke it. And I just spent a while chatting with folks about that. So that is my issue with get text and how much of a pile of donkey's bottoms it is. But as the brief thing, this is our translations status. You'll see all of the different languages we have at least a translation for. Even we have a couple for Welsh because somebody's wife was Welsh and she thought it'd be fun, and then she realized that in fact it was not fun. So we have all this, which is our coverage as seen by the red is not fantastic. But it's there, and some of it is really good. We've got really good coverage in UK English and Italian and Spanish and Dutch and I think French too, right? Yeah, and French. So we've had some pretty complete stuff done. Some of these would be more green, meaning that they have been changed and then remerged into R trunk and then pushed up if I hadn't broken automatic imports, which I did by telling Git text to not write date timestamps inside of the files themselves, because that's stupid, because I have version control, thanks. Merge requests, we don't accept patches in mail. We only accept merge requests. It's the only way code gets into our tree ever, under any circumstances, ever. So if you want code to get into Drizzle, you make a bizarre branch and you push it up to Launchpad, and then you say, select this for merge, or request merge, or whatever. And then we get a message and says, hey, this person would like their thing merged into the trunk. And then everybody can review it and say, oh, wow, this is fantastic. Or, wow, you need to learn that we're not actually writing in Java. Or whatever it is that we want to say, even though we wouldn't be that rude. So they do that, and that's great. And there's this sort of conversation that builds up associated with it. So as a brief thing, the thing that I realized that I didn't really mention much about is that everything is, all of our stuff is done by Bazaar, and so obviously Launchpad allows you to push Bazaar branches to Launchpad. As an example, I have 180 Bazaar branches of Drizzle on Launchpad currently. Many more of them are marked as active than they should be, because I'm not good about going back in and janitoring up my old unused branches. Not the ones that don't get merged. Yes, many of them are merged. These are the ones that I pushed and then didn't really quite work out for me. but yeah, I would, again, bulk interface. I actually started writing a GTK one of these the other day, and then I quit because I didn't care anymore. To go back and clean up my 180 old branches that I'm not using anymore and mark them as abandoned would be cool. These are mine. If we look at those, you'll see it has two active reviews or unmerged proposals there. If we go and we look at the active code reviews for Drizzle, these are branches, and I'm only cutting off like two of them here. These are the currently outstanding branches that people have suggested, hey, it would be great if this got merged into Drizzle trunk, and sort of where those are at, like Stewart's IS concurrency patch up there, which has some comments but no actual approvals or rejections. And so you can see that I get actually a pretty nice, so this is the dashboard I work off of for code reviews. Right there, you can actually see the bookmark up there in the corner of the browser. Pending proposals, I click that, I get this page, and I look and I see if there's anything that I need to deal with in terms of reviewing stuff. So if things are on this list, I'll deal with them. If things are not on this list, I won't deal with them. I won't even know that they're there because I get way too many emails. So this is what an individual one of those looks like. This is Barry from a while back, and we really need to figure out what's going on with this at some point, because this has gotten orphaned. But he sent it in, he's got some comments, we chat back, you can sort of see the conversation between him and Jay starting there. And then Jay has indicated this needs fixing, and what Jay didn't learn at that point was that he should also change the status of the merge request to work in progress, which is the thing we're going to try now, which is going to solve all of our problems. And then the fact that there's a resubmit status and a resubmit proposal link was the cause of no confusion with many people. Yeah, I know, but it's still there right now. Like, that's the status it's in, I guess, because it, yeah. Sweet. Yeah, that was that, which is how that one got set to status resubmit. Yeah. Yes. Another thing that I use, I'm going to say the Drizzle team uses this. I use this. is the personal package archives, which is allows you to upload source, Debian source package. Damn it, Debian source packages, and it builds them, and then you can have an apt-gettable repository, which is fantastic. I've also used this as a way to put up some meta packages, so that people can just add the Drizzle developers PPA, and then they can apt-get install Drizzle dev, and they get every single development dependency and tool that they'd ever want to do normal mainline Drizzle development, which is really fantastic, as long as they're running Ubuntu. If they're not running Ubuntu, I don't care about them. So that's fine. So this is our PPA page. All you gotta do is grab, it's got instructions on there somewhere of how to add, can you really add PPA colon drizzle dash developers slash PPA to your system sources? Because I don't think you can. Untrusted PPA by adding PPA colon, yeah? I can go into etsy app sources dot list and add that? Yeah, I didn't think so. Ah. Sweet. As a note, it'd be cool if I could just add that into etsy sources list, because I'm never going to remember a menu option in GNOME. Yeah? Cool. See, I learn new things every day. Yeah? Okay. Cool. Rock. Fantastic. So that's that. There's... for instance, these are the packages that you get out of our repository, because we, and most of these are things we work on. Drizzle, Gearman, Drizzle, libmemcached, memcached, are all things that we are involved in the development of. So those are all, you need our stuff. Hudson integration, we don't have it. I think it would be great if we did. Great, thanks. Yeah, Hudson's really great. Although I was just needling that it would be great if Launchpad itself was a HUD, like, it didn't have to be Hudson, but like if it could like be the CI head, you know, and then just our slaves, could, we could have build slaves that we attach to it because it already knows all this metadata, rather than me scraping the data out and then doing something, you know, I know, whatever. Well, you know, Oracle bought Sun. You know, the Hudson developers may not be wanting to work for Oracle. I don't know. I don't work for Sun or Oracle. I can say whatever I want to say. Wah-ha! Oh, sorry.
Does anyone have any questions for Monty before we move on to the next session?